Would you turn, please, to Romans, the sixth chapter, Romans chapter 6. We are starting a new series. Somebody said, well, did we finish that other one? No. Anything in the Word, you could just keep going on, right? But actually, this is connected to that, and I think you'll see that. But it's enough difference to talk, you know, make it a different series. And we'll just read some of this from the sixth chapter of Romans. This whole chapter, actually chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8 of Romans, is dealing with this subject. And it is such amazing, amazing revelation. It's revelation that was not in the earth prior to this. It was revelation that God gave Paul personally. He didn't learn it from other human beings. He got it straight from God. And he even describes of how he was caught up to the third heaven. And so this revelation then has been written down and recorded for us in these writings. The Holy Spirit by Paul. And he describes beginning in chapter 5 about how through one man, Adam, through sin, death and sin had passed upon all humanity following them. And then he describes God's solution for this, God's redemption through Jesus, how that Jesus was made sin with our sin. Became sin with our sin, so that we might be made His righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. And so, you'll find the word sin, S-I-N, many times in these chapters. In fact, you'll find the word sin hundreds of times in the Scriptures. And it was our sin that put Jesus on the cross. That caused Him to have to go. The psalmist said that fools make a mockery of sin. And you'll find that there are many fools in the world today who mock the concept of sin. But sin is real. And sin is the cause of all the evil in the world. If there had never been any sin, the enemy would never have gotten control. And there would never be, there would never have been any curse or death in the earth. It goes back to that. And so, redemption is God's answer for man's sin. In Romans 6, let's just start read some of this. Romans 6, he said in verse 6. Romans 6:6. He says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, with Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Do you have to serve sin?
No.
Another way of saying that is, do you have to sin?
No.
Now, I don't know if you realize this or not, but this is a big doctrinal issue. And there are a number of people, groups, theologians, and denominations that in some form or fashion, they believe, even those of us that are believers and go to church, that we are basically sinners. Saved, hopefully, by grace. But that because we are sinners, born sinners from our mother's womb, sinners by nature, that we are not able to go through a day without sinning. So that sinning for us is unavoidable, inescapable. Y'all are quiet. But that is not what the scripture teaches. And it's a cop out. Right? You see what I'm saying? Oh yeah, that's convenient. Right? Hey, you know, I sinned today, but I'm down from, 30 times yesterday to just only 15 today. So, whew, I'm doing good. Reminds me of a minister friend of mine. He, his brother was really rough guy and outlaw and mean. And for years he prayed for him and believed for him, and he finally got saved. And so then he started helping his brother in the ministry with him. And so they were moving some vehicles one time, and they got out on the interstate, and his brother was behind them, following him in a car. And this guy come racing through and cut him off. And the pastor, his brother, saw it, and he thought, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Because, back before his brother got saved, this would have been a big problem. And so sure enough, he did. He caught up with him. And they wound up on the side of the road. and he hit the guy. And so he, the issue was over and the guy was ready to leave. But anyway, he came up and he said his brother was smiling. He said, "What are you smiling about?" He said, "I didn't even cuss. I didn't cuss one time." I said, "Yeah, but..." So, relative, I mean... So, sinning is what he's talking about. And he said, keep reading, verse 7, "He that is dead is freed from sin." We need revelation about our identification with Christ. The reason we're baptized in water as identifying with Christ as a public confession, and if you haven't been baptized in water in front of people, you need to be. It's a public identification with Christ. And what is happening is, and it's not supposed to be sprinkling. It's supposed to be submersion, because it's a type of going down under the ground into death. Amen. That you and our confession should be, "I died, I've been crucified." Amen. And I'm dead with Christ, but then also what? Raised. Oh, come on, y'all. Hallelujah. Raised to newness of life.
Yes.
Resurrection of life. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. A new creation.
Yes.
In Christ Jesus.
Yes.
We need to spend more time on this. I have been crucified with Christ. Help you to say that. Just ever so often. And I'm dead with him. But I've been raised with him.
Amen.
And Ephesians goes on to say, and seated together with him in heavenly places. We should camp on, meditate on, confess about who we are in Christ. What has happened? Because everything that he did, his being scourged, his being mocked, his being spit on, the crown of thorns on his head, the scourging at the cross, the crucifixion, he did none of that for himself. He didn't need any of that for himself. He had no sin to pay for. All that he did for us. And he did it in our place.
Yes.
So we're to identify with what he did as though it happened to us.
Okay.
Yep. Everybody awake.
Yeah.
And why did he have to go to the cross again? Sin. Sin. Going all the way back to Adam and Eve. And all of ours. So keep reading. He that is dead is free from sin. So it's possible to be free from sin. So do you have to sin?
No.
But what's the key to it?
Dying.
Being dead. Being dead. Now he talks a lot more about this. Here in the next chapter. But it's real simple. A dead person, let's say in a casket, their body's in a casket, dead, but it's open.
Right.
You can't tempt them.
That's
right. Huh? You fan a bunch of money in front of them. You go, hey, man. You know, tell a lie. Do this. Get all this money. Expression will not change. No response. Is that right? Why? Come on, help me out. Why?
Yes.
They're dead. They're dead. Somebody come along, try to tempt them to commit adultery or something. And sashay around and talk funny and all this. No, no change. No expression. Why? Help me out.
Yes.
Dead. And that's what the scripture tells us. We are to be dead to sin. Now you may not look and feel like it when it comes to the temptation. That's why you have to reckon yourself dead indeed to sin. Because to be dead to sin is to be free. Anybody want to be free?
Amen.
To be free from sin. He that is dead is free from sin. And I'm going about this kind of funny, but that's the title of the series.
All right.
Free from sin. Free. Keep going. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Are dead people scared of dying? Again, you can't scare them. You can't move them. You can't tempt them.
Right?
You can't make them worried. You can't make them mad. You can't make them upset. Because they're dead. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Now tell me again, why did he do that? Who did he do that for? Not for himself. He did it for me. Did it for you. Did it only for us. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It would help us tremendously if we would put these words in our mouth. Especially if something's pushing on you or pulling on you or tempting you or trying to scare you. You open your mouth and say, I am dead to sin. And I'm alive to God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Come on, say it again. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Dead to sin, alive to God. Dead to sin, alive to God. Now I'll just let you in on a little insight here. It is so frustrating to the devil and his cohorts when you act dead to sin. Because they're used to getting a response. Right? They used to being able to push people to get mad and go into a rage and do things they shouldn't do and respond and yield to temptation. But when they come and try to push it off on you and you just go. And they go. And the demons go, it ain't working. He won't respond. He won't respond. And you go, yeah, I'm dead. Dead to sin. It really frustrates the enemy, which is why you should enjoy doing it.
Exactly right.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
Come on, say it again. I am
dead to sin.
I am alive to God. Hallelujah. Keep reading. Verse 12, he said, let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, and don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So it's our choice which we yield to. If I'm dead to sin, I'm not yielding to it. If I'm alive to God, I am yielding to Him, to His Holy Spirit. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you.
Amen.
For you are not under the law, but under grace.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Instead of church-going people talking about how they can't quit certain things or can't shake certain habits, this is what we need to be saying.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
Sin, say it out loud. Sin
shall not
have dominion
over me.
Shall not.
Amen.
So this is what we're talking about in this series. If we are redeemed and the greater one lives in us and we have the authority of the name, then why are so many Christians falling so much in sin? Huh? And just look straight ahead and smile. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when you're talking about sin, let me define it just a little bit. Because people categorize sin. And they decide, well, this is a bad sin, but this one's not so bad. But that's not what the scripture says. But let me give you a few things here that define what sin is. Instead of some man's idea of it. The scripture says in 1 John 3, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it to you. 1 John 3 and 4, it says, whoever commits sin transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So if the law says, you shall not steal, and you steal, you sinned. The law is still right. And he said, verse 5, You know he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whoever abides in him, what? Sins not. Whoever sins, now that means you live a lifestyle of sin. Sinneth is a lifestyle.
Right.
Has not seen him, neither known him. If you're walking close to the Lord, you're not trying to sin.
Exactly right.
Huh? You're not planning sin. You're not, that's not your priority. And if you are, you're just living sin, well then you're backslid. You're not close to the Lord. You're not seeking his ways and his will. But do you have to sin?
No.
See, according to this, if you abide in him, he sinneth not.
Amen.
So we're already seeing answers that you don't have to. It's possible to go days and not sin. To go months. Oh, y'all with me or not? It's possible to go months and not sin. It's possible to go years. Oh, I don't know. Did I lose somebody? It's possible to go years. Jesus went his entire life.
Amen.
And didn't sin one time. And he didn't do it as with all the powers of God. He did it as a human being.
Amen.
With no unfair advantage over us. Proven it could be done.
Yes.
And like we already said, if your heart's right, you don't want to sin.
That's right. That's right.
You want to please God.
Yes.
Right? You want to draw closer to him.
Yes.
Walk with him and please him.
Yes.
So transgression of the law is sin. Also, the scripture says, James 4:17, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Did you notice to him? Not to everybody? Why to him? Well, because it was him that knew what to do. So now you begin to see sin, transgression of the law was always sin, but sin is violation of light. So sin has to do with violating what you know. And if you don't know, you can make some mistakes, but if you didn't know, then sin's not imputed to you. Even if it caused you a problem in this world, between you and God, sin was not imputed. Because he knows what you know and what you don't know. So sin's violation of light. But then also Romans 14:23. Romans 14:23 says, whatever is not of faith is sin. Wow, this just got bigger. Why am I talking about this? Because when we're talking about sin, ain't no need in looking around. Well, what do you mean? You have sinned and come short. I have sinned and come short. Right?
Yes.
Many times. And there's no need in us trying to categorize sin. And go, yeah, but my sin wasn't as bad as your sin. According to who? According to who? Violation of light. In fact, somebody may have done some stuff that looked pretty bad and on the outside was pretty bad, but if they were babies and didn't know any better, can you see what I'm saying? Then they didn't miss it as much as you did on some seemingly smaller thing, but because you knew good and well what you were doing, violating light. So I just want to define a little bit what sin is. And the scripture said, all of us have sinned and come short. The literal definition of sin is to miss it. To miss the mark. Or like we just got through quoting, come short. Or offense. To offend. And we've already seen the words transgress violate. So we've already asked the question, do we have to sin? And what we already saw in our text is, I'm dead to sin.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
And free from sin.
Yes.
And sin shall not have dominion over me.
Amen.
I want to hear you say it. Sin shall not have dominion. Oh, come on, say it again. Sin shall not have dominion over me. This is one of the big parts of why Jesus went to the cross. Why he became sin with our sin is so that you and I could live free from it.
Amen.
Live free from the bondage of it, free from the oppression of it, and free from the results of it. So get this in your mouth. Get it in your heart. Get it in your mind. I'm free from sin.
I'm free from sin.
Hallelujah. In Romans, the 8th chapter, and the first verse. Again, we said, if you're serious about this, later on, read these chapters, 5, 6, 7, 8 of Romans. Read them carefully, because it's all of it's dealing with this. And in Romans 8 is part of the culmination of it, of the answer. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation, that's guilt and shame, to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Again, that's a choice of what I yield to. If I yield to the flesh and yield to things I know are wrong, even though the Lord's already paid for my sin, my heart is still going to condemn me because I know it's not right. And unless I repent and make a change and receive forgiveness and cleansing, I won't live free from condemnation, even though it's been paid for. Oh, but if I will confess it and change and repent, and if I will receive forgiveness and cleansing, I can get free from guilt, free from condemnation, free from shame that no amount of counseling could ever get you free from.
Amen.
Only the power of the blood.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And those that believe in it and those that receive it, I can absolutely live free from sin and free from condemnation. And that is being truly free. Hallelujah. No guilt, no shame, no embarrassment. That is miraculous, and that's the power of the blood.
Amen.
Look at the next verse, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Not in the process of doing it. Hath made.
Amen.
That's already done, did. He has made me free. See, can you see? That's what he was saying in that in chapter 5. He was saying it in chapter 6. He was saying it in chapter 7. And then he really just puts it together with this phrase here. How did it happen? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We ought to get this in our mouth. We ought to say this. Right? We ought to say it. I've been set free from the law of sin and death. How? It was the law of the Spirit of life. In Christ Jesus has made me free. Now listen. Walking by faith means you're not walking by past experience or by your feeling or by your emotions. It's when you messed up yesterday that you really need to say this. Or come on, y'all with me or not? It's if you messed up, if you did sin, this is when you really need to get this in your mouth and believe it, that my mistake is not bigger than the grace.
Amen.
And then the blood.
Yes.
And then the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I was crucified with Christ. Dead and buried with Him. Which means dead to sin. Dead to sin. But I've been raised. Woo! Raised in newness of life. Raised up together with Him and made to sit together with Him in heavenly places. How many understand? The filth and the failure and the corruption of sin cannot sit down on the throne next to God Himself. But you can. Woo! You can. Why? Because you were dead and buried with Him and crucified with Him and raised together free from sin. Free from sin. So you can come boldly into the very throne of grace. You can sit down with Him. Now the devil will do anything he can to keep you from seeing this or keep you from believing this, because if he can keep you and I in some kind of guilt or some kind of condemnation, it totally undermines your confidence and your faith. That's one of the worst things about condemnation. It is the confidence killer. And if you are ashamed, and if you don't like yourself, and if you're against yourself, you won't come boldly to the throne of grace. You will go hide. You'll pull away. You'll go away from your answer, from your help. So don't let the devil trick you. Don't let him play you. It doesn't matter how, what kind of mistakes you've made, or how many times, or how long. When Jesus went to the cross, He took it all. I said He took it all. He took every bit of it on Himself, in Himself. And when He said, "It is finished," it was finished. What do you mean? The price paid for everybody's sins. No matter how terrible or how bad or how long, that's been paid for. So the sin problem has been fixed, has been solved, if you'll believe it, if you'll receive it. If you won't, you'll stay in the sin. You'll stay in the condemnation. You'll stay in the death. But according to Romans 8:2, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. 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 From the law of sin and death. Oh yeah, sin and death is everywhere in this planet. The very atmosphere is permeated with it, but not in me. Not in me. Not in me.
Amen.
Whoo. Somebody say glory to God. Well, how do you like this new series so far? Go to 1 John if you would. Boy, I can already see we're going to have to come back. Hadn't got to point one yet. That's all right. You're believing with me, right? You're believing with me. 1 John and the first chapter. These verses are so rich with revelation about this. He talks about that God is light in this first chapter. And in Him is no darkness at all. One translation said not even one particle. None at all. And in our previous series, we talked about the kingdom of darkness. And how that the fifth chapter of 1 John talks about the whole world lies, one translation says, under the control or under the sway of the evil one. And so that means that all the things that are, the bad things that are happening in this world, it's not God. It's what 2 Corinthians 4:4 refers to, that Satan is the god of this world. It's him. And his spirits of darkness, like we were studying in the previous series, are influencing everybody on the planet except those children of light who are walking in the light. That's not the majority. But I'm going to say that's us.
Amen.
Huh? And so you'll find this contrast of light and darkness. Light and darkness. And sometimes the kingdom of darkness's influence is referred to as this world. The world. Now that's not talking about the earth. That is the ungodly mentality, people, ways, living that is the vast majority on the planet. And the scripture warns us about the world and worldliness and ungodliness. Now keep that in mind as we read this. I tell you what. Some of these things I haven't taught exactly this way before, so I'm looking to the Lord. Before you read this, go to Psalm 1, the very first psalm. They'll put it on the screen for us. Just a few verses. Anybody remember Psalm 1, the first psalm? Psalm 1. Psalm 1:1. How the book of Psalms starts out. Blessed is the man that what? Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Is everybody blessed the same? No. Well, what if you walk in the counsel of the ungodly? Will you be blessed the same? No, you won't. You'll be affected by that. He's telling you, don't walk in their counsel. And don't stand in their way. And don't sit in their seat. The scorn, the sin, the ungodliness. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Now that sounds like Romans 8. About instead of yielding and walking in the flesh, right, you're yielding and walking in the spirit.
Right.
Your delight's in the Lord.
Amen.
And you got him on your mind night and day, not the counsel of the ungodly.
Amen.
Keep going, verse 3. And if you do, if you separate from that and you yield yourself to this, you will be like a tree planted by the multiple rivers of water. I grew up in the deep south on a rural country area, and we got an oak tree in our home place. Gigantic. I don't know how big it is. It'd probably take, 10 men holding each other's hands to go around it. Gigantic. And the reason it got so big, access to water. Is that right? It had access, and its roots would reach down to this creek and this pond and this thing. And how many know that Jesus is the vine?
Amen.
And we are the branches. And if we're hooked to him, You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, no matter what's happening with the weather. Why? Because you're not depending on a shower. You got source. You are tapped into unfailing waters, rivers. And whatever you do will prosper. Now, everybody likes that. Everybody wants to shout about that. Go back to verse 1. What's the first thing you had to do? Is what you don't do. We live in a world that is mostly ungodly. And so this counsel and sin and scorn is all around us. And so in order to walk in the fullness of the blessing and the fullness of fruitfulness that he describes of the blessed man, I have to separate myself. Y'all with me or not? From the ungodliness. This is one of the big reasons why Christians sin. Why Christians fall. Lack of separation. Did y'all hear me? Lack of separation. A few decades back, people, you know, decided that holiness ideas were legalistic. And that, you know, and congregations and denominations had lists of things that you could do and you couldn't do and what have you. And people thought, well, man, you know, that's bondage. And so people got away from that, but then just kept going.
Right, yeah.
All the way across the road, into the ditch, on the other side of the road, until now, in many cases, looking from the outside, you can't tell the difference between the church and the world. They look the same, act the same, talk the same, do the same things. And that's also why the same sin that's in the world gets in the church. No separation. Y'all with me or not? It's kind of like the little boy that kept falling out of bed. Every night, not too long after he went to bed, mom would hear a kaplump. He goes, "What happened?" He fell out of bed. And finally, he falls out of bed again. And she says, "Son, why do you keep falling out of bed?" He said, "I guessed I stayed too close to where I got in at." Did y'all get that or not? Well, I guessed I stayed too close to where I got in the bed at. Why? The closer to the edge you are, the easier it is to fall.
Yes.
Can you see this?
Oh, yeah.
So too many folks sleeping on the edge of the bed. Is that right?
Yeah.
Even got 1 foot off the bed. Is that right? One arm off the bed. One ear off the bed. Is that right? In worldliness, ungodliness. Well, see, you're half sliding out as you are. How many think it would be smart? It would be safe to come on, get all the way. Come on, y'all help me out. Get all the way in the middle of the bed. Put a little distance between you. Is that right? And what are we talking about? Separation. Separation. Holiness. Being what does it mean worldly in the scripture? Worldly. You could use the same phrase to say ungodly. Ungodly. Not like God. Well, what is holy and separated? Like God. Like Him. How many believe Jesus was holy,
yes.
is holy,
yes.
lived holy.
Yes.
There was no ungodliness, nothing unlike God. It was all like God. And the reason I'm saying this is because this is not just a good thing to do, not just the right thing to do. This makes it easier on you
yes.
and me to not sin.
Right.
Huh? It's the safety of separation. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Where are you now? 1 John? Where? Psalm 1, yeah. Well, let's keep reading. Let's finish it up. Thank you. We backed up to see how we got to verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
Is we had to decide, I'm not hanging with ungodly counsel. Right? I'm not fellowshipping with those that don't believe in the Lord, those that just live in sin. I can't do that. But I'm yielding myself and meditating in His things, right? Night and day. And the result is I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And even, you know, other scriptures talk about even in a time of drought, you're still green and flourishing. And whatever he does shall prosper. Keep reading. The ungodly, so he's back to that, are not so. They are not going to have the same results. But they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. How does something become chaff? It dried out. It dried up. No moisture. No water. No rain. No blessing. And the more you hang with the ungodly, the drier you get, right? Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Not going to happen. But for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's not us. We are the righteous. Man, my time's already up. Go to 2 Corinthians. I'll close with this, I think. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So you're going to be with me on this series that we get the things that we need? 2 Corinthians 6. Some of the basic questions we've begun to answer in this already on the first lesson today is, do we have to sin? Well, I think we can see that already.
Right.
No, you don't. Well, if Christ has already paid for all of our sins, and death has no more dominion, and sin shall not have dominion, and we're free from the law of sin and death, then why are so many Christians repeatedly falling in sin? Why? What's the issue? And so we've begun to answer this. One is not knowing what we talked about that Christ has done for us. That's the big one. And then secondly, we've already talked about lack of separation. Once you're saved, you can't just keep running with sinners.
Nope.
Right? You need to get to church. You need to get some new friends. Huh? Or get your old friends saved, get them in church with you. Right? Y'all can grow together, but you can't just go hang with them and sit in the council of the ungodly and the seat of sinners and scornful. You can't do that without it pulling you to a place where it gets easier and easier for you to fall and sin. So, lack of separation is a big reason. Too much like the world. Didn't Romans 12 say, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. One translation brings out, it's like yoking donkeys and oxen. It's like putting yoking together completely different species of animals. Well, they don't work good together. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What's the answer? Huh? What communion has light with darkness?
None.
What concord has Christ with Belial, a name for the devil? What's the answer?
None.
What part has he that believeth with an infidel, somebody that's not a believer, that rejects the existence of God? Can you see the answer to every one of these is none. None. What do we have in common with the ungodly? Come on, help me out. None. Now, you might be able to say you like the same kind of things at McDonald's, or you like the same, both of you like vanilla ice cream, but the things that matter, you are a completely different kind of being. You are a child of light. They are a child of darkness. You've been made the righteousness of God, and they are unrighteous. Can you see this? Not just because of what they've done, because of rejecting Jesus, not receiving Him. And this, what he's saying, this is never going to work. This is not going to work. You getting your advice, you getting your counsel, you getting your direction from unsaved people. See what I'm saying? You hanging with them and getting involved in what they're involved in, not going to work. Keep reading. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? None. And the reason he says that, because you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, I'll be their God, they shall be my people. Keep going. Wherefore, what's the solution? Am I reading the New Testament? The book of Corinthians? In the New Testament? What's the answer to this? Come out. Who's got to move? I got to move. I've got to get myself in gear and come out from among them and be what?
Separate,
says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This is New Testament. The reason so many Christians are falling so much, too worldly, not enough separation. You with me or not? I could say more. Do we want to make it hard on ourselves? Or do we want to make it easy on ourselves? Within separation is safety. Come on, move all the way up into the middle of the bed. Is that right? And then if you roll over a little bit, you're still in the bed. You didn't fall out. You're still in the bed. And then you got time and space to get back in the center. Right back in the center of the middle of the will of God. Keep reading. He said, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you. Keep going. I'll be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And isn't that what we want? We want fellowship with Him, close to Him. We don't want to be like the world. We don't want to be. Now keep reading. That's not the end. This was not written in chapter and verse. So look at the very next verse. Keep going. 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting what?
Holiness.
Is this still a good and a right thing? Holiness?
Yes.
Always has been. In the fear of God. Now, we can't wash our sins away. Only the blood can do that.
Right.
So what's he talking about cleansing ourselves? He already got through saying it, this separation.
Amen.
separate yourself from it and let the blood wash you, and then let the washing of the water of the Word wash you, and the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit wash you.
Yes.
Hmm? Like this morning, right here, right now. Huh? Nobody's cussing. Nobody's, huh? Nobody's getting drunk and getting high. Y'all with me? We're not chasing each other's spouses. We're not trying to lie and steal your money or your stuff.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
You want to be places like this.
Amen.
You want to be around people like this. Right? Separate and safe.
Amen.
Stand on your feet, everybody.